Well, yesterday was District Assembly for Church of the Nazarene for the Mid-Atlantic District, which is where Lon A is today. She's actually babysitting, spending time with the grandkids because my son and daughter-in-law are real active with working with the youth and different things with the district. But back in January, they asked each church on the district to come up with a verse that has a promise that the church wanted to kind of grab hold of for the year. So we talked about it as leadership team, and we came up with Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, that's pretty good stuff there, right? I kind of paraphrase it as, don't let the world shape you into its image, but allow the Holy Spirit to change you by giving you a new mind. And when you do that, you will know God's will. Because we have a God who transforms lives. Amen. And we have seen Jesus transforming lives at Real Life Chapel. Now, then we went to Jamaica. And while we were in Jamaica, I preached three sermons at their, they call it Believers Week, at their revival services. And I took three different sections out of John's Gospel where someone said, come and see. And kind of when we came back, that come and see just kind of was sticking. So I sent an email to the district and said, look, I know it's past the deadline, but I want to change the verse that we've got for our verse. And they said, that's fine. You do things different anyway. But but this verse comes along. You have John the Baptist is standing there with a couple of his disciples. They see Jesus, and John says, look, the Lamb of God. And these two disciples just take off and start following behind Jesus. Now, if you think about this, that's kind of sketchy, right? He's walking along, and all of a sudden, these two guys are just kind of following him along. John 1, beginning at verse 38, says, turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher. Now, this was written to Greek speakers, and that's why they, Mark put that in there so they knew what he was talking about, because rabbi would have been the Hebrew. Rabbi, which means teacher. Where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. Where are you staying? Now, that staying could be translated abiding. Where are you abiding? And it was interesting, yesterday at District Assembly, the general superintendent, which is, there are six of them in the whole world for the Church of Nazarene, he shared and he talked about abiding. I said, this is kind of wild. Because he was sharing out of John 15, which is what I have in my notes here. Because in the New Revised Standard Version, which I'm going to read from, they translate abide. The NIV translates it remain. But I wanted to grab this abide because it's the same word that could be, where are you abiding, Jesus? And in John 15, beginning at verse 4, Jesus says, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away, like a branch that withers, and such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So the disciples say, Jesus, where are you abiding? And Jesus says, come and you will see. Now, by the time he had poured 3 years into them, he tells them, I abide in you, and you abide in me. He doesn't want to overwhelm them when they're first following and say, where are you abiding? And he just says, come. Come and you will see. And they have no idea what is ahead of them. But if we will come to Jesus, we will see. We will begin to recognize what he's doing, and he will abide in us, and we will abide in him. He will show us things, and he will do things in our lives that we cannot even begin to imagine. Probably my first Christmas here at Real Life Chapel, somebody gave me a sticker for my truck window that just said, come and see. It came from The Chosen. And I don't put those stickers and stuff on my truck because I'll have them crooked. I'll have the wrinkles in them. I'll do all this. So Lon A does that for me. And she had put the Real Life Chapel sticker in the window, and right under it, come and see. I said, yeah, I kind of like that. Because when I look around this place, that's the way it just come and see. How do you describe what God is doing here? I mean, we've got a great worship team. Probably one of the best worship teams I've been around. I mean, they're great musicians. Full disclosure, I'm about tone deaf, so music isn't what drives me necessarily. But see, this team isn't just gifted musically. They bring something more. It's something that you can't manufacture. They have a way of thinning that veil between heaven and earth. They open the conduit, and the Holy Spirit just kind of flows through. They bring us into the presence of Jesus. You can't really explain all that to people when they ask you about your church. You just come and see. We're friendly. We've got Michelle and Robin that fix that table back there, donuts and cookies. Got the coffee hot all the time. Man, those things are all good. We got what I call the country store. When you walk in that door down there, you got the guys down there, and it's a blend between welcoming you and greeting you and harassing you all at the same time. I mean, not everybody has that. And then you've got Harry and Dawn at the door, and you got to be sneaky to get through the door without getting a hug. And I'm sure you can go online and watch the services. And I think that's great for when you're on vacation or you're sick or whatever. But if you watch it online, it's not the same as being here on a Sunday morning. And that's because every single one of you play a part in this as the Holy Spirit moves. People ask me, you know, how are things going at your church? I said, it's wild. It's wild what Jesus is doing. Is it revival? I think we're on the cusp of revival. God is changing lives. God is convicting people, and people are responding to God's conviction. God's healing. He's healing marriages. He's healing relationships. He's healing bodies. He's saving souls for eternity. The Spirit's moving in ways I can't even describe. I don't have words for it, so all I can do is say, come and see. Come and see what God is doing. Somebody might ask you, where do you go to church? What's the music like? What's the preaching like? Are the people friendly? And I think the best response any of us can give is, come and see. You won't know until you show up. You can watch it online, but that's not the same. If you want to experience being in the presence of Jesus, come and see. Come and join us as this representation of the body of Christ. Now, to be honest with you, I've seen God do some neat things in my life. And I haven't been following Jesus until I was 30 years old. But in those years, I've seen him do some neat things. And this is the third church I've been the pastor of. I was pastored in Missouri for 4 years and down in Berlin for 13 years. And we've been here a little over 4 years now. And God's doing something different here. I haven't seen God work quite this way. And it's because the Holy Spirit is moving. But the Spirit can move and we not respond. The Holy Spirit is moving and people are responding to God. People are allowing Him to change their hearts, to change their mind, with transformed minds instead of conforming to the patterns of this world. So, just as kind of working through this, I said, we're going to have some, through the year, we're going to have some come and see Sundays. When you hear we're having a come and see Sunday, invite anybody you know, come and see. Because we're going to have different people that you're sitting with each Sunday, that God is doing some amazing things in and through. Come up and share what God is doing. And you can't explain it otherwise. It's just come. Come and see what he's doing. I don't know exactly what it's all going to look like. But we'll allow the Holy Spirit to lead in that. Come and see what happens when we follow after Jesus as he leads. So this morning, Steve Hafferman's coming up here. He's going to share his story. If you've never seen a miracle, open your eyes. Not only is this man transformed? I just found out this morning, even his clothes are transformed. These clothes used to be court clothes. Now they're church clothes.
Thank you. All right, pull your Bibles out now. I needed to say that because it's an honor to speak in front of you guys. You know, I believe God has done the most work in me in the last 3 years, but to get to that point, I got to tell you guys where I've come from. I grew up in Denton. I grew up much in the world. I did not know Christ. I grew up in two motorcycle clubs. My uncle was in the Pagans for 40 years, and my father was a Kingsman. So have you ever seen Sons of Anarchy? You know, I grew up in the way of the world. Drugs, alcohol, violence, that was normal for me. You know, my parents tried to keep it away as much as they could, but anything you do out there comes home. You know, the God I knew growing up, I walked into a church at a very young age, and all the eyes turned around and looked us up and down. It was eyes of judgment. And I didn't want any parts to do with that God. You know? But growing up in that lifestyle, I deal with anxiety. I deal with depression. Right? And I tried to mask it every way I could. And growing up in a small town, I think we just got a Walmart, you know, 10 years ago, whatever. How long has it been there? There ain't nothing to do in Caroline County. Nothing. okay? When you can go outside your house, smell the manure, and name the animal it came from, right? Right. So, you know, growing up in the country, we'd set fires, we'd have beers on the weekend, we'd shoot guns off. That was normal, you know? But as I got older, the anxiety, the depression, not knowing God, not knowing where to turn to, got harder and harder, you know? And I started dabbling with things. You know, I didn't see it was a problem then. I worked all week. I justified it till it became a problem. And when it became a problem, I knew I needed to get out of here. And in 2009, I went to the Eastern Recruiting Station. I wanted to go Army. I wanted to go Airborne. I wanted a career. I wanted something different. And that night, I had to go back the next day to sign the final papers to get shipped off. I was hit by a drunk driver, 55 miles an hour, in Greensboro, Maryland. I have $186,000 invested in my lower back, and they prescribed me pain pills. And I found my new love, you know? And this just trickled down and trickled down and trickled down. And I remember one time, I was laying there sick off pain pills, and somebody came over and gave me a line of heroin. And from that point on, it became very, very, very dark in my life. You know, I tried to find Christ. Actually, I walked into a church, and some of these people here know my testimony. Some people lived through some of my testimony, right? And I walked into a church in 2014, and I found out what God was really about. And I blame D-O-N-G all the time because it's their fault. I met them in a church outside of Denton, and they planted the seed of Christ in my heart. Not because they were reading me scriptures, hitting me with the Bible, you know, repent. No, it's because the love they shared, the grace they showed, the kindness, you know, and he is wild too. You know, I don't know how his wife does it, but we're going to pray for her. But I realized this was normal people on fire for Christ, and I wanted it. You know, at that time, I stepped into sobriety, and I wanted something different, right? And I had a heck of a sponsor, you know, that worked hard with me, you know? But you know what I learned? And I've learned it in the last 3 years. My faith wasn't strong enough then, you know? That depression, that anxiety, all of it came back, and I ran. When things got hard, I ran. 2018, I came into sobriety, broken, bruised. You know, I had a needle on my arm for 10 years. I manufactured methamphetamine, like Breaking Bad, that movie. I was in a camper making it. 10 years, a needle on my arm. 2018, I reached a point where I couldn't do it. You know, and I moved up Chestertown. And I was on fire for God. I didn't know how to go about it, but I needed something different. You know, and I was in church every Sunday. And started my sobriety walk up there. And I was one of the 11 people to help start Celebrate Recovery and Hope Fellowship in Chestertown, Maryland. And it was beautiful. And I tell you, my wife was attracted to me. That's how her attraction came, because of my fire for God, you know. And we were doing excellent up there. And then 2020, I love that man. Oh yeah. Anyway, stop doing that, Dio. 2020, things changed for me. I got a call from my mother saying that my father was in shock trauma. And my first thought was, who'd he try to fight at 66 years old? Because he was a long, white-haired hippie, biker, tattoos everywhere. And he went down on his motorcycle. And I knew at that point, what my parents did for me. I have a daughter, Lillian. You guys have met her. She's 13 now. They helped raise that girl when I was in active addiction, you know. And at that point, I knew that it was my time to show up for my mother. So me and my wife moved back down to Denton, took over all finances for my mom as she grieved, and helped her out, you know. What I didn't realize was it pulled me away from church. It pulled me away from God, you know. It's not about this building. It's about the congregation. It's about the accountability and the love, right? And I got so much in the world and growing up in a lifestyle of motorcycles that I joined a motorcycle club. That is much in the world, right? And my first thought was, man, I can bring Jesus to them. And if anybody's suffering with alcohol, I can help them. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus did not call me to that motorcycle club, okay? So before you go and do something, you might want to talk to him first, okay? Because it was my flesh and my desire from my childhood that pulled me to that motorcycle club. I was in that motorcycle club for 3 years, and my wife Eva tell you, even owning a motorcycle to me is a lifestyle. I put 15,000 miles on my bike in 1 year. I stole time from my kids and my wife, hanging out with the brothers over in Baltimore, putting myself in positions that I should have never been in, even clean and sober, right? And I was a man of God. I was a Christian. I believed in him. If I was the only Bible that you ever read, you'd probably turn away from church. You know, that's where the deceiver in my life pulled me away. And it got to a point so bad, and we were so in the world that me and my wife got married in a motorcycle clubhouse. Yeah. Fighting, bickering, not getting along, sleeping on a couch, just jumping on my motorcycle and disappearing. You know, we come to a point where we knew something was different, and we actually sat down and we said, we don't have God in this. We haven't been to church. We need to go to church. The third Sunday in church in Hope Fellowship up in Chestertown, I made a decision that day that I can't serve two masters, that I wanted to come back to God. And as we came down here to our friend's house, we helped him with a watershed, right? Didn't he win first place? Yeah. A watershed competition. Anyway, I said, look, honey, I'm getting tired. I'm going to take the bike home. I'll see you when I get home. This is down at the development by the Jehovah's Witness, 322 right here. My life, March 26, 2023, changed and altered for the rest of my life. As I'm coming here, car pulled right in front of me on Marble Avenue. At that light right there, you go to Target. And I T-boned a car 50 miles an hour on my street glide. And, sorry. What messes me up is I remember every second of it. I felt the pain coming to on the road and looking down and not being able to move and my leg in pieces and, all I could get out of my mouth was why, you know, before I hit the car. Everything slows down. I don't know if you guys have ever been in a situation where everything slows down. I was, what, a mile and a half from my wife? Laying in shock trauma. I was still on fire for God. I kept on praying. God, I don't know why you needed this to happen, but my faith is in you, right? I tried to keep it as strong as I could. I was in a wheelchair for 4 months. My wife dressed me, washed me. My arm, I got 20 hours of reconstruction surgery in my left shoulder. And amputation, as you guys know, peg leg Steve, pirate Steve. I love Pastor Mark, man. We're going to get into this real quick. Anyway, footer. My wife was there to wound change me, take care of me, feed me. You know, all the friends got together and moved the bedroom downstairs because, let's figure it, I ain't walking with one leg, you know. And I was okay then. 4 months after my accident, I had to go back to work. One, the boss wasn't going to pay me a whole year to be off. And two, we were going to lose the house. I did not have time to process. I did not have time to heal to go back to work so early. And here's the thing. I've never dealt with losing a leg. And just a suggestion, don't do it. Would not suggest it. Might get you closer parking. When I went back to work, I was in excruciating pain on a daily basis. I'm talking crying in an excavator just to get 8 hours of work in. That's where Satan started to work on me. You know, the deceiver in my life is, I started questioning, God, why'd you let this happen? I was on fire for you, man. I was trying to do your will, right? It wasn't God. Seaver was angry that I was going back to God. He needed to stop that. You know? But over time, each and every day, I became angrier and angrier until it turned into hatred. Right? And I started lying to my wife. I started taking, as a man, I'm like, oh, I got to take pain pills, you know, as a provider. The biggest thing I did was not communicate with my wife, not sit her down and talk to her exactly what I was struggling with, you know. As a man, for me, my father always taught me that, hey, if you break it, you fix it on your own, right? Be a man, right? Being a man is when knowing to reach out for help. And I shut down so hard mentally in my head because, let's be real, nobody in my circle knew exactly what I was going through. They don't know how to help me. It got to a point so bad. You know, I learned something later in life. When you go through something like this, you either get better or you get bitter. And I got bitter. I got so bitter with the lies and the deceitfulness that I pushed my family right out them doors, you know. And I'm looking there one night, 3 days after my family, for her safety, for my wife's safety and our son. I'm looking around and I'm going, this is what the world's got to offer? I don't want this. The hell that I was living inside my head was far worse than the hell that I was going to do if I took myself out. And that's what I try to do. You know, I thank God that there were people that came to my house and took all the guns out of my house. Because I would not be standing here talking to you right now. That's how far I was down in brokenness. And I lost all hope in God. I actually looked up to God one day and I said, God, I know you're real, but I don't want to talk to you. And I don't want to pray to you. And I'm angry with you, right? And Pastor Mark did a sermon, you know, there's no power without prayer. I didn't learn that until sitting in here one Sunday and heard that. And I was like, I had no fight. After 5.5 years of sobriety, I relapsed. Right? When my family left, I'm sitting there and I said, you know what? I'm done. If this is what the world has to offer, I'm done. So I did what I knew that would take me out. I went out and bought enough drugs to stop my heart. And as after 5.5 years, as I put them in my arm, the last thing I remember was my vision going, my hearing going, and me smacking the fish tank, and I hit the floor. I don't know how long I was out, but when I came to, I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at my hands, and I'm looking at the house, and I'm realizing it's my house. And I said, why am I not dead? Sorry. Holy Spirit spoke to me that night, as clear as day. When I said, "Why am I not dead?" Man, a voice hit the back of my head and said, "I'm not finished with you." And I get emotional, man, because growing up and believing in God and fire for Him, I always had my doubts. You know, I did. Until that night. But I was so far lost in my faith and my hope in God that I know I didn't want this lifestyle again. I lived it my whole, you know, over 10 years. Homelessness. I was eating out of dumpsters in outside of Rural Farms, downtown Denton. I don't know if you guys know where Tractor Supply is. I was sleeping in their mulch pile in the winter. I was showering at Martinex State Park. I didn't want that life again, but I didn't want to feel. And I got so codependent on my wife and not God. If she just come back, everything would be fine. I got to give it to Him. You know, and I'd make it a couple, 3 months, and then I'd lose hope again. I'd pay the electric bill and look at my account and have $40, and I said, "Well, I can't pay the mortgage." And I'm looking at my daughter, and I'm like, "I can't feed her." I'd lose hope all over again. I'd relapse again. Every time I relapsed, I caused more chaos, not only in my life, but my family's life. I come to a point where I need it. I know I didn't want to come down this road again. That I've tasted the life of sobriety. Me and my wife bought our first house in 2021. First time homeowner ever because of recovery, you know? I didn't want to go back to that. So 2024, I went across the bridge. And I even hit my knees one day and I said, "God, I'm going to let her go." You know, I even prayed one night. I said, "God, if it's not her, bring somebody into my life." I said, "But right now I need to focus on you." And I went to rehab in 2024. When I got out, I was so broken and so lost, but I was hungry for God that I walked in this church in December 2024. I don't know. It's been over a year. And you know what? Not a single eye in this church judged me from up and down. You guys didn't know that I lost my marriage. Now, I'm ADHD. Don't roll something shiny because I'll chase it, okay? And being up in here, I've spoken rehabs. Being up here in front of you guys is way different than speaking in a rehab, okay? Me and my wife were separated for a year and a half. We were even seeing other people, you know. But no matter what I did, never filled the hole. Right? Every time I go see somebody or hang out or date, I got no gratification from it. It was empty. I come in this church fire for God. And I tell you, you guys, Pastor Mark and Lonnie have loved on me since the day I walked in this church. You know, and he says he's got a couple days off. But when I was calling him on a daily basis, I was angry. Like, why won't my wife come back, right? And all that. It wasn't time. I came into discipleship. They offered the program, and you know what? In all of my years of believing in Christ, either I stayed straight away or I came back. You know, the greatest thing about this is when I was so broken, I don't think God let this happen or did it, right? But He let me tear myself down so He could rebuild me. Right, just like a mechanic, if you have a blown motor, you have to tear it down to rebuild it. Even when I was on fire for Christ, He was preparing me for what I'm doing today. You know, I came in that discipleship, and it turned on a light bulb for me. I realized that when I ran after having a great sponsor and having some taste of sobriety, that I had childlike faith. That discipleship program taught me so much. in my faith, in my walk in Jesus Christ, that he needed me to be toward, for me to tear myself down so he could point me in this direction. You know, line A, Pastor Mark in this church helped me and my wife, like I said, after a year and a half of separation, we started marriage counseling. You know, and this church has helped me get in there and help me financially to start. I tell you, it was a lot of work to put in that. But I can tell you one thing, after all the years of being a Christian, right? Me and my wife being together, we are members of a first church ever in our marriage and in my life here at Real Life Chapel. You know, I don't get it right every day, right, honey? Can I get an amen? Hey, look, I'm gonna tell you guys something. She chooses to love me every day. Okay. If I didn't push her out that door, if I didn't tear myself down, Christ could have never rebuilt me. Christ would have never rebuilt our marriage with him in it. See, we were so far in the world that God wasn't in the center. We now put God in the center of everything. Just not mashed potatoes. That's weird. We have to, and I don't get it right every day. I don't. And somebody asked me the other day, and they said, Steve, if you could go back and change anything, would you? And for the longest time, I wanted God to take away this pain. I'm hurting right now as I'm up here. I wanted God just to take away the pain. I'm okay with the leg being gone. It ain't growing back. Miracle-Gro does not work. Okay? I wouldn't change it. Because so many years, I was a lukewarm Christian. I was a believer in God. I'm a Christian man, but my actions didn't meet my words. I get emotional, man, because my marriage today, when we went in there one morning, he says, how do you guys feel about graduating marriage counseling? I kind of looked at him like, I ain't never heard had that said to me, you know. Our marriage is stronger in this last year than it's ever been. My faith is so much stronger than it's ever been. My sobriety, I'm coming up on 18 months. April 29th is 18 months. And you know, for the longest time, Satan was like, you had 5 years. Look what you did. God doesn't love you. That was in my head, right? This 18 months have been stronger than the 5.5 years of sobriety. You know, God was preparing me for something. I want to thank everybody that came out Friday night. Yeah, coming into this church and being a member and having the love and the grace. You know, God has given me a purpose on this earth, and it's to reach the broken. Right? Because it even says in the Bible, it says God is close to the brokenhearted. Right? Jesus came and sat with what? Tax collectors and prostitutes. I am the least of these. He came to save me, you know, and I every time I reflect and I think on it, I cry, and I'm like, you turned around to save the one, you know. My marriage is in a different dynamic today. My faith, my trust in the Lord. There's a song out there, look, some days my hope is shaken, right? I'm still dealing with a financial burden from this accident. A lot of people in this economy is dealing with a lot of burdens. My hope it can be shaken at times, but my faith will never be broken. You know? And I said something the other day, too, and the only time that I ever want to look down on somebody is when I'm reaching out to pick them back up off the ground. You know? God is working on me. He knew that we were going to start Celebrate Recovery here on Friday nights. We had 98 people, not including the kids, here Friday night. When it talks about in the Bible about picking up your cross daily, I still have my hay. Right, Shane? Hay. Preacher, man. I'm telling you, it's nothing but love. I love this church. I don't know where I was going with that, man. It's that new haircut, man, you got. Look at that, man. Woo-woo. In Celebrate Recovery, they talk about the hurts, habits, and hang-ups, right? I just want to let you guys know it's not just about addictions and alcohol, right? I realized, when I was 10 years old, I didn't want to be a heroin addict. I didn't want to be homeless, right? I had underlying issues that I never dealt with, the trauma, the anxiety, the depression, you know? And like my wife said Friday night, it's only a hole that God can fill. I still deal with hang-ups, with anger and everything. God, I'm a work in progress, you know? And I spoke about it Friday night. If I was made so perfectly, Jesus would have never had to die for me. And he had to die for me. It's been an honor to be a part of this church. It's been the love that was shared to my family and my wife coming in. I don't know if you guys remember, when I first started coming in, she wasn't here. And now we're members of a church. Now we're leaders in a Celebrate Recovery. I tell you, man, God can take anything. He took my messes and he turned them into masterpieces. I have to pick up my cross daily, though. Because the deceiver in my life, he doesn't just take it away in one day. He lets me drift farther and farther away from God until I have no fight against the enemy. You know, I have to pick up my cross daily. I have to put him in everything I do. I've grown so much in the last 3 years, and I have a lot more to grow, but I'm gonna keep leaning on him. And I think Jesus was not a fast runner. Maybe he took the leg because he could catch up to me, you know? I was telling Pastor Mark, like Jacob, he wrestled with the angel so hard that he broke his hip, right? I wrestled with my faith so hard that God had just had to slow me down a little bit, you know? Yeah. My son, Cyrus, you guys know him, and I'll end with this. I'm sitting there. I have my leg off in the living room one day, and he comes up. He grabs my leg. He looks at me. He says, "Daddy, chase me," and he runs off with my leg. I said, he gets that from his mother. It's hard. Like, I wanted to hold my emotions back. Just like Friday night, the work that God has done through my marriage, through my sobriety, through my faith and trust. I don't know what you guys are facing or your trials and tribulations that you guys are going through, but God's there. And he was just preparing me for what was coming, you know. Thank you guys for letting me share. Oh, she's crying for me. Look at it.
Thank you. Maybe you're sitting there today and you're saying, I'm where Steve was. Or maybe you're saying, well, I'm not quite as bad as Steve was.
Amen.
Or maybe you're saying, I'm worse than where he was. But I want to invite you this morning. If you've been wrestling with Jesus, I want to invite you to come up here, and I didn't ask them, but I'm going to just ask them now. Would you all pray as people come up? Would you pray for them?
Absolutely.
So if whether you're in that place where I accepted Christ and I've just, as Steve said, drifted further and further away, and you want them to pray for you, come up here. If you've never surrendered to Jesus and you're saying, well, I'm not sure, come up here and they will pray for you. Just come and see what Jesus wants to do. Let's stand up together. Worship team, if you would come up here. And if you want them to pray for you, if you would come up. If you would. If, because this is come and see, right? Come and see what Jesus is doing. If, and this might feel awkward to you or whatever, but I'm just going to ask. If over the past year you have begun to follow Jesus or you have turned back to him after wandering away, would you mind coming up here so we as a church can pray for you? Because the enemy wants you to fall. And we want to pray protection over you. Come and see. Come and see what the Lord is doing. Church, let's gather around and pray together as the worship team leads us in song.
Thank you.
Way more than just good. You are exceedingly abundantly good to us. Lord, I thank you for what you have done in Steve's life. I thank you for the story he was able to tell, what you have done to transform him. And Lord, as we're gathered up here this morning, each one of us have had lives that have been transformed by you. We each have that story to tell. Lord, give us boldness to share that story with others and boldness to invite others to come and see what Jesus has done in my life. Come and see what Jesus is doing in our church. Come and see what Jesus wants to do in your life. And Lord, those that came forward this morning, Lord, I just pray that you would draw close to them and confirm to them that you have transformed their lives. They're going to go out of this building a different person, because you have taken the old them and buried it and raised them up as new people in Christ. Lord, help us to go out and live into who you have said we are, who you have created us to be. Lord, I pray your protection. We know the enemy wants to come after them because they've changed allegiances to you. Lord, protect them. Remind them that they've got a family around them that they can call, that we're here for them. Strengthen them. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to continue to do in us and through us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great week.